without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Epistles from Romans chapter 9. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place. The day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves, and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the responsory on page 221.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
To you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Food is never just food. Bread is never just bread. In today's gospel, Jesus feeds well over 5,000 people, but there's much more going on than a simple meal. As Jesus provides food for the hungry people in Israel, he shows that he is the source and giver of every good thing, both physical and spiritual. Jesus is the one who satisfies those who hunger for bread. Jesus is the one who satisfies those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus is the one who satisfies. Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. The Apostle Matthew, presenting Jesus as the Messiah to the Jewish people, reverses the order of Exodus. The major salvation event of the Old Testament, the book of Exodus struggles with 4 main problems and asks 4 questions. How will God save us from slavery? How will God provide for us in this wilderness? How will God want us to live? And finally, how will God Himself dwell among us? Well, in the book of Exodus, God delivers the people, casting 10 plagues upon the Egyptians while sparing the Israelites through the blood of lambs. When the people grumble and complain, God sends manna and quail, and he produces water from a rock. God calls Moses up on the mountain, gives him the 10 commandments. Finally, God provides details for the holy God to dwell among the unholy people in a tabernacle. The book of Exodus ends with the tabernacle built, the glory of the Lord filling it, but Moses is unable to enter. The chosen people of God can still not behold their righteous God. Something more has to be done. Matthew takes these 4 questions and answers them the opposite. How will God dwell among us? Chapter 1. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God dwells among his people in flesh and blood, in the baby boy born in Bethlehem. How will God want us to live? Chapter 5. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." The lawgiver comes to explain his own law. The first question of Exodus, the last one for Matthew, how will God save us from slavery, will be answered in the final chapters of Matthew as the Passover lamb is nailed to the cross and rises from the dead. Today, Matthew asks and answers for us that remaining question. How will God provide for us in this wilderness? When Jesus hears of the death of John the Baptist, he withdraws to a desolate place, the crowds follow him, and we witness the book of Exodus in the life of Jesus. When the people need food, God delivers. Jesus responds to the needs of his people. When they bring him their sick, he is moved with compassion to heal. When they are hungry, He does not send them away, but he performs a miracle to feed them all. The God who rained manna from heaven is now present here, giving bread to his people. Matthew makes a strong point of the compassion of Jesus when he sees the sick coming. Every single action stems from Jesus' compassion, his desire to help the helpless. Earlier in chapter 9, Matthew wrote, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." And in the gospel lesson, Jesus withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. God knows what his people need, and he suffers with them. Jesus' entire life was shaped by his compassion. Here at the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus' compassion heals and feeds. Eventually, Jesus' compassion sacrifices. Jesus sees the helpless and helps them. Yet this feeding here is not a simple handout to those desperate for food. Unlike the feeding of the 4,000 later recorded in Matthew, the people here have the ability to feed themselves. As the disciples say to Jesus, "Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." God knows that his people need personal contact, personal presence. And so Jesus doesn't send them away. In Exodus, God was with his people. He showed himself in the cloud. In Matthew, God shows himself in a body. When Jesus ascends into heaven, God will work yet another way. When the disciples tell Jesus to send the crowds away, he responds instead, "You give them something to eat." After breaking the bread, Jesus gives the bread to the disciples, and they in turn give the bread to the crowds. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus prepares his disciples to become the hands of God in the world, giving bread to those who hunger. Through simple men, Jesus' compassion works to help the helpless. Now, unlike the people in Exodus, the people here at the feeding of the 5,000 do not need Jesus to feed them or they will die. This crowd does not complain or argue that slavery in Egypt is better than freedom in the wilderness. In fact, this crowd only reclines and eats. The feeding of the 5,000 is not about the Israelites, not about the hungry before Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000 is about Jesus himself and what Jesus provides. And when the crowds eat what Jesus has provided, they are satisfied. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Jesus continues to provide for the needs of his people. Jesus does not remain alone, but is full of compassion, seeking to help the helpless. He still concerns himself with our daily activities and our needs. Because of this, Jesus tells us not to worry about our food and our clothing. Earlier in Matthew, he declared, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" A little later, he said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." How many people do you know who live by Jesus' words?
How many people do you know who seem to only care about what they will eat, what they'll drink, what they'll wear? Truth be told, you are not much different. Your desires seek not the kingdom of God, but the latest latte, that new pair of boots, the delicious plate at the Mexican restaurant. While it is true that many of us often don't worry whether we'll get what we need, we are constantly concerned with exactly what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. Our thoughts are about the fridge, about the store, about the restaurant, not about our God. Even further, we regularly deny that Jesus is active in our lives, working right now to help us. How many people do we see starve? How many people do we see lose their jobs? How many people do we see struggling day after day, even though they go to church, even though they pray, even though they have remained faithful? We fail to see Jesus. As we tell ourselves, the compassion of Christ could never let one of the faithful suffer. Nothing could be further from the truth. For where Christians suffer, there Christ is. For Jesus, who suffered all, does not abandon his own. When we don't see Jesus in our daily lives, we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus did not come to this world to bring food, to bring jobs. Jesus came to this world to fix the relationship of humanity with God so that we can call God Father. And when we pray to our Father asking for our daily bread, we're no longer worried whether we'll get what we need, nor are we concerned with exactly what we get. We recognize that God provides what God provides, and we are satisfied. But Jesus' compassion doesn't stop at providing for just our physical needs. The compassion that caused Jesus to heal the sick and feed the hungry crowds caused him to one day carry a cross to a hill called Golgotha. Our souls ache with guilt and sin. We are dissatisfied day in and day out with our world and ourselves. For we do not do the things we want, but we do the very things that we hate. Out of his compassion, the Son of God became man to help the helpless. For that is what we are. That is what you are. In the epistle lesson in Romans 9, Jesus was sent by God through the people of Israel to be a blessing to all the nations, including you and me. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. We also are the sick being brought to Jesus. We also are the hungry. But Jesus doesn't send us away. He performs the greatest miracle of all, the death of God in the flesh. Through Jesus' all-atoning sacrifice, he has fixed our relationship with the Father and satisfied our guilty souls. We are declared righteous and justified because of him. Jesus is the all-sufficient sacrifice on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And he heals us with his wounds as he feeds us his body, the bread of life. And Jesus will continue to personally feed us forever. As in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus gave to the disciples, and they in turn gave to the crowds. Jesus delivers to you his very body and blood through his pastors. Jesus is not distant and alone to escape from the crowds, to escape from you. He now speaks, preaches, teaches, baptizes, and communes through his instruments. Jesus makes himself present here and now. As he will say at the very end of Matthew to his disciples, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus will always feed his people in desolate places. Jesus, in his compassion, sees you helpless. He sees your needs, and he gives you food, clothing, shelter, and most importantly, he gives you a loving father who cares for his beloved child. Jesus sees you stuck in your sin, and he provides you with himself, the Lamb whose blood covers and cleanses you so that you can live in his kingdom with his righteousness. Jesus feeds you, and you are satisfied. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.